Into sport.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your App Store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
The News Round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
Hello there, you're welcome along. Joe Malloy with you this evening. Busy show, good show this evening, I think. Professor Niall Moynagh, who you all know, regular voice in the show, will join us after 8 o'clock, talk to us about the various health markers we should all be hitting when it comes to our basic fitness, and he'll give us a general assessment as well of how we're doing as a country, from kids through to adolescents through to adults. It's all part of our grassroots series, which we're running this week on Off the Ball. Super Bowl 55 is on the way. We'll talk to Tara Sullivan of the Boston Globe. Tom Brady's having a much better breakup than Bill Belichick right now. Kansas City Chiefs will be one step too far for the books, it seems, but we'll chat to Tara. Football show with Dan McDonnell after 9 o'clock. And Rob Daly will join us as well, covers German football, so he'll give us a good sense of Thomas Tuchel, and he covers Spurs games a lot as well. They play Liverpool on Thursday, a game which does not need much selling. 53106, the text number. We're at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie McCormack, evening.
Hey, Joe.
And Daniel McDonnell, hello.
Hi, Joe. Richie.
With us now, with us after 9 o'clock. Dan, we're spoiled this evening.
Oh, well, I mean, that's your words, not mine. Or anybody else's.
So lots going on. Professor Niall Moynagh after 8 o'clock, well worth a listen. It's part of our grassroots series here this week on Off the Ball. He covers a whole bunch. So the first half is about what we as individuals should be able to do at various ages in our life. And then the second part is about where we are as a country. And both are really interesting conversations. So for instance, Richie, when we're measuring your fitness, are you ready for this?
Go on.
There are four areas which make up whether or not you're in good shape. And we're not talking going to the Olympics here, by the way. These are making life manageable as you get older. Oh, these are preventing.
To the Olympics, Joe. I mentioned that already.
Are you going? FIFA? You could go as our representative in FIFA, Richie, maybe?
I could, yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll see.
Is that in?
See how the ticket situation is.
That's officially in, is it? When's gaming in the Olympics? Next one, not this one.
Gaming, 2024, the Paris Games.
Yes,
next whenever
one.
They are.
Yeah. So get practicing,
David
everyone.
David Moyer's going to be in it then, basically, isn't he?
He has a chance. Yeah. He's as good a chance as anyone. So where was I? Oh, yeah, four areas going to your fitness. Cardiovascular, does what it says in the tin. Strength, so muscle mass, maintaining your muscle mass after the age of 30 when it starts to desert us all. Apparently women in Ireland in an especially bad place on this front, as Niall will explain. And number three, your balance, interestingly. You wouldn't have really thought your balance was a big one, but especially as you get older, it starts to go quite significantly. I guess we all, unfortunately, are aware of elderly people who've had a fall. Seems to become a thing. Well, it's down to balance deteriorating as much as anything. And then number four, an interesting one, your waistline is obviously a big indicator of your general health. Take your height, regardless of the metric, take your height, and then your waist should be no more than half your height. Your waist should be no more than half your height. And they are the big four areas. And he'll go through various fitness tests. So for instance, push-ups, he'll tell you how many you should be doing in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s. The cardiovascular test is how far you're able to cover in 12 minutes, running or walking, whatever you can do. There's all sorts of ones as well. Like for strength, for instance, if you sit in a chair and take your two arms and cross them and put them on your two shoulders, how many times can you stand up, as in without using the arms on the armchair to help yourself up? I know at this stage, Dan, you practically grunt every time you get out of a chair. You're at that age now. So that's the test there. And the other one, the balance one. So stand on one leg, close your eyes. You should, in your 30s, and this is just average, this is like baseline kind of stuff, you should be able to maintain your balance for 8 seconds and try it afterwards. Not as easy as it would sound. And on we go all the way through. So I think like when you're in your 60s, you should be able to do it for 6 seconds. So it's quite interesting. It's a really good chat. Obviously, Niall Moyna's credentials are impeccable. He really knows what he's talking about. And then we'll get into the wider discussion of fitness and where we are and how we're doing. I mean, we're doing so-so, Dan. Some of the stuff was interesting. Basically, at primary school level, one in every five primary school children are overweight or obese, which is an improvement, by the way. We're going in the right direction there. I know it feels a bit doomsday-ish, but apparently that's an improvement. And then at secondary school, like a lot of this we know anecdotally or otherwise, but the issue is drop-off, and it's a big issue. So for instance, they looked at 30,000 students in 2017. And basically, and again, we're talking fitness levels here that help prevent diseases. That's the baseline, as opposed to go to the Olympics. So basically, 8% of girls at 12 have a fitness which doesn't meet the level. So 8% don't have the level which can prevent diseases. By the time those girls turn 16, just 4 years later, it goes from 8% up to 34, just explodes. Drop-off stops, PE stops, notes from parents saying, my daughter's not doing PE happens, all of that stuff kicks in, and it's tricky. And similar-ish story for boys, not as bad. And then adults, to round it all off, we should all be doing 30 minutes per day of exercise of some kind. I guess different varieties of exercise. You don't wanna just walk every day. I know a lot of us are making do at the moment. This is more outside of COVID times. We should be doing 30 minutes exercise a day. 25% of us hit that. 25% of us are managing 30 minutes a day. Thoughts, Daniel?
But I think it is obviously, I mean, it's very striking that we are in COVID times. And I suppose the question is this gonna change any of our relationships with, I guess, our habits? You know, it's very hard. I don't know, it's everyone's in different circumstances, but you know, I'm sort of like a lot of people at the moment, you know, you're looking forward to like your daily walk or your trip out, and you can't help but be struck. It's not exactly the most original observation of all time, but there's a lot of people out doing it at the moment, you know, and it's a different profile to, I almost feel like I want to go back. Well, I mean, for a lot of reasons, I want to go back in time, but you know, you want to almost sort of imagine, was there that many people out walking and doing stuff and cycling, like, you know, in our good summers, you know, say, you know, good summers in recent memories when there was no COVID, because it is such a sort of a daily part of people's life at the moment. And you wonder if at some stage we gain some kind of normality, will that change? I think the next couple of years after that is going to be very interesting, because you actually see people out walking who probably, you can imagine that they weren't big time into it before, you know, and the amount of people, you know, who's taking up cycling now and various other pursuits. So it will be interesting to see if there's like a striking trend that can be maintained over a period of time, and will be, because we're having a longer lockdown experience perhaps than most, you know, will our trends be up in sort of 5-10 years in terms of where we need to meet? We'll see, you know. I don't know, like, because we're all about of a similar age, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so it's natural that you sort of reflect back to your own experiences, and maybe our own experiences are all very similar, but like you talk about, say, PE there and like physical education, and certainly I remember when I was in primary school and stuff like that, like it was always viewed as a treat, you know, and if things were bad, it might be like as a punishment you might not get to do it, you know. And it was almost that sometimes like your sporting endeavors were viewed as sort of as something that, you know, it's been given to you rather than something that's very important for you. Mm. And that's like, I don't know, has that shift changed completely? And maybe, you know, back then, like people would go out into the sort of yard at lunchtime and in the evening and play sport all that time anyway. And maybe now people will say that's not happening as much because of technology and whatnot. I don't know. But certainly I've heard people talk about over the years how we need to treat like, you know, PE seriously as something that's very important for our health. But I'm not sure if that has totally been the experience of a lot of people. And that from that comes the habit that people get out of it and don't want to do. I don't know. But certainly, my God, I think people now are probably doing exercise that they were never doing before.
Yeah, well, I think now it's a refuge for a lot of people, isn't it? Not that anyone should feel too bad if they're struggling to find the motivation at the moment, because, hell, there's enough going on. But on the growing up experience, a lot of what you're saying tallies with my experience. I must say it got better in secondary school. We had a really great program, some great PE teachers, Mr. McGovern, Mr. O'Nocton had us doing all sorts, you know, like circuit training and learning about, you know, weight training, as well as trying things like volleyball, which was positively exotic in the 90s, or various Olympic pursuits, javelin throwing, all this kind of stuff, as well as your staple of football, gaa, hurling, rugby. And, you know, I'd say for a lot of people, if you weren't good at those four sports, you probably were given the impression that sport wasn't really for you, which wasn't a good thing. One of the interesting things at the moment, which is developing as a result of the digital revolution, as a result probably of helicopter parenting, and, you know, the days of go out and play and I'll see you when I see you are long gone, and they ain't coming back, understandably. University College Cork did a study, and they found that a lot of the motor skills generally mastered by six-year-olds traditionally, things like jumping, throwing, knowing how to fall, catching, hitting any type of sports ball, you know, like I think of playing rounders and stuff growing up, but didn't do it in school. They're now out of reach for many children by the time they reach 12 or 13. And Professor Moyna, in his conversation later on, mentions Mick Bohan, the Dublin ladies football manager, who's a PE teacher, telling him that he has, you know, 12, 13-year-olds arriving into first year secondary school without those basic skills. And I suppose where national school PE curriculums let us down, we made up for them generally by playing, unstructured playing, you know, just falling out of trees, breaking bones, all that kind of stuff. And now we're not playing half as much, it seems, as kids. So the onus is now really going to fall onto national schools to sort out the physical education, literally, of kids, physical literacy. And at the moment, it doesn't seem... I'd love text in, by the way, 53106. I don't have primary school kids myself, so I'm flying a little blind on that one. But I'd love to know, are primary schools doing it every day? Like, is it still a situation whereby your teacher's interest in PE will dictate the quality of your PE? You know, I went through national school and it varied massively. If the you know, if the teacher was into their sport and knew a bit about it, PE was good. If they didn't, it was less the case. Like, I know Professor Niall Moyna says later on in the interview, there should be designated PE teachers who really can give kids now a grounding in physical literacy, going around across a number of schools, you know, maybe one PE teacher per three schools, full-time job, and they're really looking after the physical education of kids, as opposed to this ad hoc approach we've had for a very long time. That made perfect sense to me. He mentioned the unions are against that. I don't know what's been going on that front, but it would strike me rich when you know, that study from Cork and everything else we're hearing, like, we can't really have an ad hoc approach to physical education anymore.
No, especially not at primary school level, because as you mentioned there, like, I'm thinking back to my childhood, and that's, you know, several decades ago now at this stage. But you would just spend the day playing football on the road, or you'd play, you know, the day playing kick the can or whatever, you know, you'd do anything that would get you out of the house. And mostly that would involve you legging it about a bit, which would improve your gross motor skills in whatever respect that would be. That does fall down somewhat when you have kids who are, and COVID has only added to this, obviously, in the last year, you have kids who are mostly housebound when they're not in school. They aren't out on the road for another 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a day, whatever we used to be. So there is an impetus and an onus on I guess, the junior school education or the primary school education, for the physical education to be actually taught, to be, you know, made fun in a way that will engage kids and in a way that won't alienate anybody, but in a way that will actually get them moving and get those motor skills up, because it's something that very much is needed, not just going into secondary school, but as you mentioned there, just for your day-to-day life and for getting on, you kind of need a few of these basic skills that come with being physical. And unfortunately, with the way of the world at the moment, that isn't happening as much as it should be.
No, it's tough. We'll bring your Professor Niall Moyna between 8 and 9 loads in that chat and fire in.
I wonder, Joe, how many people are going to be doing those tests later on that you mentioned. You know, how many times you could stand up, the balance for 8 seconds. You know, because I've had knee injuries, so you have to do like the balance thing.
Here we go. Eyes closed. Here we go.
It's a big part. Listen, I'm not telling that sob story. I mean, I've had people. I've That's also pathetic. Around that time had some assessments on, like, you know what, you know, your sort of muscle mass and strength and stuff, and just people just shaking their head looking at you going, this is not good for you. This is not good for your age. But some of those tests, like, I was reading the, you know, we had a chat earlier about some of the sort of you know, the barriers you should be hitting. I'm sort of thinking, I don't fancy my chances on some of this stuff, you know.
Yeah. I can only remember my age group from the chat with Niall. Obviously, we go through various age groups, but I think from memory, over 12 minutes, we should be able to hit 2K, me and you, Dan, and you, Richie.
Cool,
yeah. If you're driving.
These are averages. These are like prevent disease levels.
I think people are probably, it's true. Like a lot of people our age are getting into the cycling and stuff like that now. I haven't necessarily gone there. I know you're out and about on the roads and on your motorized bike sometimes, Joe. You know, I'm not sure if that's as good for you. It probably is in some shape or form, is it?
No, it's not. It's definitely not. Texting, I'm a secondary school PE teacher, and I notice every single year that those fundamental skills are getting worse and worse. Jeez, that's a grim text to get in. What's worrying me is that these trends are usually noticeable every 5-10 years, but it's noticeable every single year now. Like, very noticeable, says that texter. We're going to have to get ahead of it. The way Niall summed it up, and he's a great man for digesting lots of complex information. And I said, so where are we as we were departing the kind of kids into adolescence conversation? And he said, look, honestly, 75% are actually okay. 75% kids are doing okay. He said the other 25% are going off a cliff, like it's chronic. And we're going to spend 90% of our health budget on that 25% in 30 years' time. And we need urgent action. So that was the way he put it. But yeah, so cardiovascular, your ability to run, your strength, your balance, and the waistline height ratio were the four he picked out. By the way, in the strength one, like he really wants to get the message out to women about weight training and how it's so important and it's so neglected. And I wasn't surprised to hear that. I don't think women, young girls, were ever encouraged to do weights or told about the importance of weights. I think lads often, at some stage in their teenage years or 20s, get drawn to the weights room in the gym. It strikes me as a pretty intimidating environment for lots of girls, women going in there, but like it's massively important. And so he'll detail what you should be doing if you're 30, 40 years of age, female, and you've never done any weight training, and he'll explain why it's so important. That's on the way between 8 and 9. There's loads of texts coming in on this, and I'll get to them in a moment, but we should start our news round, which is, as ever, Richie, with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters. More good news.
The extension of level 5 restrictions into early March will have a knock-on effect on the inter-county GAA season. The Alliance Leagues were due to commence in the final weekend of February, but they now won't get underway until late March at the earliest. The All-Ireland Finals could also be moved from July to August. That's to ease the backlog of fixtures that is sure to come with restrictions in place as they are at the moment. GAA suspended all activities, even though elite activities are allowed under level 5. They've decided they want to wait for case numbers down or to come down before they recommence, but they haven't given an exact number on what they will be.
Yeah, by all accounts, it was a fairly gloomy press conference today. I saw Leo Varadkar last night, and we're in a tough time, it seems, for the next while. So hang in there, everyone. Sport's going to be affected for sure. There's a text in here from somebody, I won't name them, but I can verify this person. So he says, my daughter is in first class when she was in senior infants. So we're talking about now. This is what's happening in Irish national schools now. When she was in senior infants, I'd say she did PE once every three weeks. The teacher just didn't enjoy it and always seemed to fill it in with something else. It did my head in. This year, the teacher is sporty and my daughter hasn't missed a week. So my experience would be it's still very dependent on the teacher. Like, that should just be setting off alarm bells at government level and within, the teaching fraternity and every parent listening. That's crazy, Dan, that's a situation that a senior infant's child in Ireland 2020 is going 3 weeks without PE because the teacher's not that into it.
Yeah, and as you say, like the story tallies, as you say, like at national school, it can be very dictated by your teacher. And maybe we just got away with that for years because, as we've mentioned, like your habits were to be out and about at break times or, an even time, whatever, just out in the street. Now you don't have that. As I said, it's not a luxury to do it. Like, there's always that sense that this is a treat, because PE doesn't, your PE in school never really brings you to some sort of academic thing, when maybe it should at secondary level as well. I mean, that's obviously one way of, and so that doesn't happen now in any sense, does it? There's no real sense of, you can incentivize it in some shape or form, because sometimes it feels like the education, sometimes it just, system thrives off what's incentivized, whereas
Well, it's just crazy. Like, I didn't realize it was that grim out there at the moment. We'll get on. I mean, she's got her hands full, to be fair. But we'll get on to to Norma Foley and, no, not the teacher. I was going to say, we'll get on to Norma Foley and just ask her on and just say, look, we've had this text in, explain, you know, because I think we have to be having that discussion if that's what's happening out there, especially in light of what Niall Moyna is saying about 25% going off a cliff. So that is something we'll pick into in due course and offer Norma Foley an open invite to come on and give us her thoughts on where we are. Rich?
Yeah, Thomas Tuchel confirmed as the new Chelsea manager this evening. The German has signed an 18-month contract at Stamford Bridge with the option of an extra year. He replaces Frank Lampard, who was sacked yesterday after 18 months at the helm. Tuchel's first game in charge, and it's believed he's already taken training, will be tomorrow night at home to Wolves.
We'll be talking Chelsea later on this evening. Dan and I, which on the football show after 9. There are matches this evening, Rich.
Yeah, there was a 6 p.m. start to half of tonight's Premier League games, so into the second half in both of these ones. Crystal Palace taking on West Ham in what's been a rather eventful London derby so far at Selhurst Park. Let's get an update from Nigel Bidmead.
It's Crystal Palace 1, West Ham United 2, as it was at the break. Both sides have had a chance since then. A couple of minutes after the restart, Wilf Saha got in, fed by Eze, but two really good blocks from Fabianski denied the Ivorian. And then Gaeta, the Crystal Palace goalkeeper, has just pulled off a terrific save. Benrahma getting to the byline for West Ham, pulling it back. Mikel Antonio with a firm contact. It was close range, and Gaeta somehow kept it out. We've also had a clash of heads between the two Crystal Palace centre-halves, but they're still on the pitch. Crystal Palace 1, West Ham United 2.
Plenty as well at St James's Park. Newcastle fell behind to a Rafinha goal at St James's inside the first half, but they've equalised in the past few moments, adding hope to the fact that they might end their run of 8 Premier League games without a win. But Leeds have just gone back in front. So 63 minutes played at St James's. It's Newcastle 1, Leeds 2. And West Ham in the past couple of moments as well have just added a third to their total at Selhurst Park. Now, Crystal Palace 1, West Ham 3. We should mention that Mipo Adebayo, the Tala teenager, is on the bench for the Hammers tonight. James McCarthy among the subs for Crystal Palace. Manchester City have the chance to go top of the table tonight with a victory away to West Brom from 8:15. City manager Pep Guardiola full of praise for tonight's opposite number, Sam Allardyce.
So it's not easy to take over a team during the season. But against Wolves, against Liverpool, against, you know, get some other clubs, get a good result. In the past, West Bromwich draw here in the Etihad Stadium, draw against Chelsea. Like you said, so Sam Allardyce is a genius to take these teams when everybody believes it's over and get results. So, and what happened once, twice, three times, you can say, okay, it's lucky, but it's not the case because I've done I don't know how many times. So, but in the same time, so no much time for the tough game against Cheltenham. But today the training session was really good, and optimistic to take a bus tomorrow, travel to West Bromwich, and try to do a good game.
So some texts in, loads of reaction actually to this, loads of people with opinions. So for instance, I want to give various views. This is from a primary teacher of 16 years and an under 10s girls GAA coach. Lads, don't sound harsh, but this is lazy journalism on your part. Have any of you looked at the curriculum breakdown for primary education in Ireland? Time is so limited for PE due to the amount of subjects. I'm not denying the issues, but it's too easy to blame teachers and national teachers in particular. Well, I mean, 2 points to that. One, it's very clear even based on the texts that a national school experience of PE is very dependent on the teacher, and that shouldn't be the case. So there are children out there whose teacher is into sport, and then there are children out there whose teacher is not into sport, and we can't have that. You know, that's just madness for obvious reasons. And the second point to make is, and it's the point Niall Moyna is making, is physical education is now so important, it should be guaranteed time in the curriculum. You know, we can live without certain other things.
That's my point, exactly.
We can't live without our health.
Yeah, it's not a luxury. That's my point. It should be part of that curriculum. That's the point.
And on top of that as well, Joe, you mentioned whether or not it depends on a teacher liking sport or not. The actual element of sport shouldn't necessarily enter into it at a primary school level, particularly in the first 4 years.
Yeah.
It should just be about getting the kids into a hall or out in the yard, whatever it happens to be, and getting them exercising in some way, shape or form and teaching them how it benefits them.
Yeah.
Like it's a case of educating them towards physicality. It's not a case of sport or not, or making them go to football or making them go to camogie or whatever it happens to be. It's just getting them active and teaching them the importance of being active. Oh, and once you have those two things going side by side, you're going to be in a far better place.
I find, like, it's strictly not about playing football like at that age. Yeah. Like that's the opposite of what you should be doing. You should be, as you said, in a whole little hula hoop thing for a bit of fun. You have to catch a tennis ball. You have to jump over a little bench. You have to crawl through something. Like, make it an adventure. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's about physical literacy. It's about moving.
But somebody else says, delineating from sport needs to be important as well, you know?
Yeah. Ah, lads, it's not the school's job. It's society's job. Remove the cars from the streets and let the kids play. Too many cars on the road and roads aren't available to play on. Kids don't walk because it's too dangerous. But don't try put it in someone else. The schools have enough to do, says Jason Galway. I think we'd all disagree with that, frankly, Jason. There were cars on the roads in our day. It's not about the cars.
Be fair, there are more cars on the road now, but we're not going to be able to move them just because our lad wants to play football. Like it's not a magic bullet that's going to happen.
No. And I got to say, if I was 12 and there was the opportunity to have an iPad, I'd be staying inside more as well. It's about that. It's about parents not just, understandably, not just saying to their kids, look, go off out of my sight, go and play, get into mischief. Parents, that ship has sailed. That's not coming back. So that's why it falls back on the school system. And the point, Jason, is you set aside the time, you put in the time, you'll see the benefits, and you're not going to have, as Professor Moynihan says later on, 25% of kids going off a cliff and costing the taxpayer billions down the line. And of course, their own quality of life suffers so much. Michael in Cork, Joe, in secondary school, you could tell the specific girls who enjoyed PE and those who didn't. The issue was there was no set structure for PE, and the boys mainly wanted to play football and GAA. The girls who didn't would just sit there. Why not let them go for a walk together, Michael in Cork? 100%. Professor Moynihan makes that point as well, that there's got to be different options in PE where possible, even if it is just going for a walk. Lads, 2 years ago, this ties into PE's place in the curriculum. 2 years ago, we had the bad snow, the freeze, and our kids' school was closed for 2 weeks due to a burst pipe, no heating. When they reopened the school, they said that my son in first class would not be doing PE for the rest of the year as they needed to catch up on the religion curriculum. I mean, so that's the issue, Dan. You know what I mean? Like, that is the issue.
100%. That to me is, it's still in some places, and it's not fair, we can't generalize. We definitely can't generalize, but in some places you get the sense that it's, it's like it's an a la carte option or something.
It's a bad picture coming in. Really, on the text. I mean, I'm sure there are lots of people who are very happy with the PE in their national school, and so they're less inclined to pick up the phone and text. Like, that's always the nature of these kind of sample surveys as they are. But Professor Moynihan's suggestion of like a designated PE teacher to look after 1, 2, 3 schools, whatever's manageable, and unions to allow that makes total sense. So I'm amazed that this is the situation in 2021, I have to say. Richie, where are we going next?
The Premier League have confirmed that the goal scored by Manchester City's Bernardo Silva against Aston Villa would not be allowed to happen again. Silva gave City the lead 11 minutes from time, aided by Rodri, who was returning from an offside position. Both the Premier League and IFAB say the situation will not be allowed to repeat due to a new interpretation of the offside rule. While also underway at 8:15 tonight, a rerun of one of last weekend's FA Cup fourth round fixtures, with Southampton playing host to Arsenal. Elsewhere, Afghanistan completed a series whitewash over Ireland in Abu Dhabi today, set a target of 267 in their third and final one-day international. Ireland lost by 66 runs. Paul Sterling, though, top scored with 118, his second century in as many matches, but Ireland lost their final 3 wickets to successive deliveries. Afghanistan end the series with a maximum 30 World Cup qualifying points, with Ireland coming away from the Middle East empty-handed. And good news from Joey Carberry today.
Yeah.
The out-half has taken some part in Munster training as he continues to rehab a long-standing ankle injury. Carberry hasn't played in just over a year after undergoing surgery to that problematic joint. However, Munster will be without both Reece Marshall and James Cronin for Saturday's trip to Benetton, and they also have something of a scrum half crisis with both Craig Casey and Conor Murray called up to the Ireland squad.
Okay. Do you want to give us one last story, Rich?
Paddy Murray to stay on as Cork Camogie manager for a 10th consecutive season. He's led the county to 4 All-Ireland titles in that time, the most recent of which was in 2018. And Aoife Fitzgerald will be in charge of the Cork footballers for a 6th season. He took over from the late Eamon Ryan back in 2016.
Okay, very good. Dan McDonald, I'll talk to you after 9 o'clock on the football show. Richie McCormick, thanks as ever. Talk to you tomorrow. We're taking a short break here. That's your news round for this evening.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.